please prepare to hear the word of the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 10. We'll be looking at verses 22 through 32 this morning. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 22 through 32. We've been talking a lot about Proverbs and what God is doing through this book to teach his people. I hope that as you continue to study through this, you recognize that God had a plan and has a plan for us to hear these simple truths and to incorporate these truths into our lives. For as we look around, there's so much in the world that distracts us, so much in the world that frightens us. We're afraid of the wrong things. The Spirit will tell us, and the Word will tell us, that the only fear that we are to have is the fear of the Lord, which is a joy for us to have. But the world seeks to stress us out. The world brings with it its own set of anxieties. The world seeks to convince us even that we shouldn't believe in Jesus Christ so much. To keep us busy, the world seeks to always keep us focused on something else rather than the truth. The world seeks to keep us feeling the need to pull back, to pull away from one another, because people just don't understand what we're feeling or what we're thinking. And yet the problem is, when we pull back, we get lonely. And when we get lonely, we're right where Satan wants us. But God has promised, and he has provided to us his means of grace. The word that we'll be looking at in a moment, the sacraments which we'll be participating in this right afterwards. He's given us the church, which includes his Spirit, his wisdom, which are crucial for our growth in grace, but also our growth in the coming battles that we will continue to fight against the world and our own sinfulness. These are given for us to be our refuge, our keep, if you will. For those Lord of the Rings folks, our Helm's Deep. Problem is that just like with Helm's Deep, anything that man builds, any refuge that man builds, can be destroyed. But God's refuge cannot ever be destroyed. It will not fail. Wisdom is God's refuge for all who are his. So read with me chapter 10, verses 22 through 32. The blessings of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. What the wicked dreads will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. The hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is a stronghold to the blameless, but destruction to evildoers. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse. Pray with me. Father, as we look at your word this morning, there's not much here that we have to struggle with understanding. And we're thankful that your Spirit continues to work within us. I do pray, Lord, that this message will bring you honor and glory. I pray, Father, that we would be blessed by your word as we are here in the midst in one another, hearing this means of grace, receiving the blessing from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Such a practical work, such a practical book. Statements that are so practical and so true. So what's God doing here? in this particular passage or this particular section? Well, he wants us to take refuge in his word, in his wisdom. Not because we need a place necessarily to be safe or a place to hide, but because we need a place that we could go to for rest, relaxation, for recuperation. Because what's the next thing? The next thing is battle. But we need a place to be restored for that next thing. Also, that battle was going to require us to go out, proclaim the truth, to bring others in so that others will see the light in us, but not praise us, but praise the Father, as Jesus said they would do. Moses commanded the people in Deuteronomy 4, "See, I have taught you statutes and rules that you should do them in the land. Keep them, do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear of these statutes, will say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.' For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call him? It is this wisdom we have been given, this wisdom, God's refuge for us, so that we always have a place to go to, always have a place to be refreshed and renewed, R&R, if you will. Because the battle lies ahead. That is, we, his people. Now, remember, this word may sound individual, may sound very much like we just bring it in and do it ourselves, but this is given to the church, for it works best within this context. The word comes and blesses us. The sacraments are given to us to bless us. We pray for together with one another. We're bound together in this way. These simple truths bind us. They energize us. They clarify the voices in our day-to-day. The voices that seek to crowd in. The voices that seek to lead us to despair. The voices that can constantly try to break down our testimony so that we become more and more ineffectual in the world around us. And again, Satan smiles. He smiles, but God's wisdom is our refuge, our hope in blessing, and it is our hope in righteousness. These are not given to us just to sustain us in battle, but they are given to us to be a refuge so that we have a place to run to be refreshed, renewed, so that we can be prepared for the next battle. God's means of grace are not just for us to sit here and get good or get better. They're given to us so that we can fight the battle before us with the heart of Christ. So we begin with wisdom, God's refuge as our hope and blessing, verses 22 through 26. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. What the wicked dreads will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. This contrast between a wise son and a foolish one continues. And as I've said many times before, I believe that Solomon gets his material, if you will, most of it, that is, from his own life. Because at any given time in his life, he was that wise son, as we've said before, when he chose wisdom over riches to lead God's people. And then he became a fool. Now he also sees his son Rehoboam following in that foolish footsteps. Solomon learned from the Lord's word, but also the school of hard knocks. And Solomon knows the hope that comes from the word. And he wants to make sure that his children understand that. It's sort of like talking to a teenager. Sometimes you know you're not getting through. But it's not just a teenager, is it? How many people do you work with on a daily basis that you know they're not really listening? But it's sort of like that. But Solomon's been given a task. Whether they're listening at the moment or not, he's still giving the word. And the first blessing we see here is that God delights in giving good gifts. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Now, this is not the same as the health and wealth gospel, or like the one TV evangelist that I always think is one of the funniest guys on TV, and that's Jesse Duplantis. And he says, you know, if you just have enough faith, if you want a jet airplane, you can have a jet airplane. In fact, I went and Googled him the other day, and that was the first thing that came up was his jet airplane. So I guess it works, right? The article went on to talk about all the pressure that he placed upon the people to make sure he had the right amount of money, to make sure God's will was taken care of so he could buy the airplane. But that's not what God's talking about here. God delights in giving material wealth to people. He delights in giving all these things, these good gifts. He delights in giving it to his children, those who are meant to have it. But he also gives us wealth in so many other ways that we take for granted. Material things are actually meaningless. He gives us our spouses. He gives us our children, our grandchildren, our church. He gives us our jobs, interestingly enough, even if you're not happy there. But he gives us hope and peace abundantly in the midst of pain. Sometimes it may seem like the wicked get away with everything, but God's continued word reminds us that they will receive what they've done to us tenfold. So in the end, they won't. But that's not our issue. That's not our problem. That's God's job. God's provisions are true blessings, absolute blessings. His gifts, financial or otherwise, are true riches of the soul. Paul put it this way in Ephesians, "Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Then again, he says in chapter 3, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask and all we think," because we can't ask enough because we don't think enough, "but he does it so much more abundantly than we can even imagine, according to the power at work within us." Within us. For those of you who are in Revelation, we were talking in Revelation chapter 11 this morning about the power that the church has that we don't even bother to tap into. "Within us," he says, "to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." God's blessings, with those blessings, there is no real sorrow, grief, or fear, or regret when we do things God's way. Interesting, that's what the word promises, and yet we suffer so much grief, so much sorrow, so much fear, and so much regret because of our sin. And we wonder why things are happening the way they are. The fool, in his foolishness, finds sport or joke to be a scoffer at God. His view of life has no real seriousness because it's all about him. But God gives wisdom as pleasure to us who he has given understanding to. Pleasure. It's always great to watch a child answer a deep theological question correctly, and they know they're correct. And it's written all over their face. There's a pleasure and a peace and a hope and a comfort in watching our children answer questions that they know the truth. It's a pleasure to them because I got it right. Or the pastor gave me 50 points. It's a pleasure to us because we see their hearts. We see them light up as they participate with the understanding that God has given to them. The wise enjoy gaining more wisdom, more understanding of the hope that is in Christ Jesus, a hope that cannot be lost. But the fool is fearful. They're fearful that all that they have built, that all that they have acquired will be lost. Someone will come along, as in the book of Ecclesiastes, and take it. Or someone will come along and take your life and what's to be left of your wealth. The fool worries and is fearful of such things to the point to where there is much struggle in their life. Gotta love this next text, though, because we've been seeing this contrast back and forth. And then we come to verse 25. When the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever. There's no contrast here. This is the reality. In the end, the wicked will be washed away or burned up. There will be no more tears, no more struggle, no more pain, nothing more. For we, God's people, will be established forever and ever. It's a great promise, a great blessing, a great amount of hope for us to hold on to understand how God loves us. You know, I could spend a lot of time focusing on the fool. I think it's more important, especially in this day and age, with so many people questioning what it is to be in Christ, that we focus on the blessings and the hope that we have here. But there's one that I just can't not deal with. Verse 26. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so the sluggard is to those who sent him. Okay, who in here loves to drink vinegar? If you drink 8 ounces of, if you chug it, what's likely to happen? Pardon me? You're going to, at the very least, you're going to sputter and cough. It's going to be a violent kind of, and we won't describe that violent kind of reaction for some people. How many people like to have smoke in their eyes? What do we normally do when the smoke comes up and hits us in the eyes? What I just did. We have a violent bodily reaction to that. How do we all handle the lazy person in your life? How do we handle the sluggard, the one that has a job to do but doesn't do it, expects you to do it for him, expects someone else to do it for him? How do we usually deal with that? Maybe not quite as violently as vinegar and smoke, but we talk behind his back to everybody else, don't we? We talk about how angry we are with him or her, and how if he would just get better or if he'd just leave. We have a reaction to the sluggard. The sluggard promotes a reaction. There's nothing wrong with holding the sluggard or the lazy person responsible, but we're never given the right to gossip or slander, even about the sluggard. It's important for us to recognize that when we say things like lazy people are just useless all the time, that those are words that shouldn't come out of our mouth, shouldn't be even internalized, because they're image bearers of God first and foremost. Like I said, doesn't mean we don't hold people accountable. But Christ's love needs to be apparent. God's refuge gives us hope and the blessings, and we can handle even the sluggard. But there's also hope in righteousness, verses 27 through 32. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. The hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is a stronghold to the blameless, but destruction to the evildoer. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. That's the other thing that the church doesn't really like about Proverbs. I think that's one reason why it gets a bad rap from time to time, is because of how absolute it is. There's got to be more shades of gray. Not in the Proverbs. Not in the Proverbs. Now, as I've said many times, we have been made righteous because of Christ. Christ went to the cross. A plan that had been instituted before the foundations of the earth to save his people. He did that with joy that was set before him. Our sins, past, present, and future, the sins of all his people, past, present, and future, were placed upon him. They were taken from us, and we were filled with his righteousness. Because the void had to be filled with something. And God's promise required righteousness. This is what it is when we look at this, when it talks about the fear of the Lord. It's that righteousness that's been given to us, that work of the Holy Spirit that continues to bind us. It's the foundation of all virtue and blessing. Moses taught this in his work. We see it throughout Scripture. For Moses, long life was an ultimate blessing. 120 years old, not too bad. For Solomon, it's an incentive. For us, we understand from the Scriptures, it's really not about longevity of physical life. It's about fullness of life. Psalm 119 tells us, how is it we can be happy in the Lord? By being in His Word. By living through that Word and living that Word out. The Proverbs continue to remind us of a very similar thing. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, gives us a fullness, an understanding, a peace, a hope within our righteousness. What's the purpose of the righteousness that was given to us other than the hope that we have in Christ Jesus to do His will, to accomplish His mission? Long life, full life, the peace that comes from our justification. Our righteousness in Christ enables us to get every bit of life out of this life that we're supposed to get. Righteousness naturally enables us to have joy and comfort and hope. When we do things God's way, recovering, receiving, and living by the Word of God, receiving that words of encouragement and discipline from one another, receiving and participating in the sacraments, these means of grace that continue to strengthen us and prepare us for the day ahead, that they also give us a place to rest in and recoup. We get to grow. I love that passage from last week. On the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found. Reminds us that in the church, we find the wisdom that we need. Those who are growing, those who are walking with the Lord, those who are exhibiting the Lord's grace, those are the ones that we go to and seek their wisdom. That's the chorus we are to be marching to and marching with and singing with, the chorus of wisdom of the wise within the church. We are to be there because the rest of the world is constantly seeking to pull us away. The lies of the world constantly seek to influence and direct our lives. But the righteousness of Christ is our hope. We will not ultimately be shaken, even though for a day or a two or a month or years we walk away. God's promise is true. We will never be lost. Nothing can take from us what God has given to us. Christ left to prepare a place for us. That means that there's a place for us now. Paul told the Corinthians, for we know that when this earthly tent, this earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So there's no losing this salvation, no matter how rough life gets and how and what path we decide to take. We are inheritors. Our identity is in Christ, whether we choose to identify at the moment or not. But the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. God's wisdom defines us as His people, enabling us to grow. But more than that, enabling us to have a place to rest and recoup for the battle ahead. Righteousness, our real hope. Righteousness, which comes with the fear of the Lord, which is our delight. As we read from Romans, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good, what is acceptable and perfect. The righteous know this, and just as a reminder, everyone in here who claims the name of Christ is numbered among the righteous. Saints, holy ones, children of God. The righteous ones of God, that is our hope. That is where our R&R is. As we prepare for the next thing, the next battle. This wisdom, the refuge, is best had within the means of the grace that God has given to the church. We have heard His word. We will receive His sacraments. We have praised and prayed together as His people. We are in the midst of the Lord's presence, and He is giving us His grace. And here is our refuge to prepare us for the next thing. Pray with me. Father, we rejoice this day in your continuing blessing of our lives. With your word, your sacraments, and with one another, these proverbs, these pithy statements are meant for us to know the absolute truth. As we seek to bring you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.